I know that one's kind of big. If you want, yes, it's a yes. I have a friend in Dallas whose sister, I went to elementary school with him, and his sister has been diagnosed with cancer, and they're doing a new treatment.
Okay.
Where they go in and block the source of blood and nutrients to the tumor.
Okay.
And yeah, it blew my mind when I was reading the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's a new treatment that they're trying on cancer patients.
Okay.
Where it goes in and blocks where the tumor gets its blood flow and nutrient to wreak havoc. So they're cutting it off and starving it.
We'll ask God to bless their efforts and do it in such a way that He will receive all the glory. Amen. Amen.
We want to pray for Monica's baby cousin, Kyson, who's still in the hospital, Monica's friend, Angie Witten, the Fuentes family. Pete Munchell is going to detox tomorrow. And Neva and Joe's daughter, Natalie, needs a job. She's been interviewed twice in her field of marketing. And then Monica's friend she was talking about is Jetta Featherston.
Okay. We'll pray for that one first, since we just talked about that, and then I might add one or two while I'm praying.
And her family is one of the families that whenever I decided to get clean and come back to God,
mm-hmm.
I went down there, and they helped me.
Praise God.
Yes, sir. The Lord used them to help me come back to Him.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So
correction. yeah.
Hallelujah. The Heavenly Father, as we bring Jetta before you, Lord God, and we, even Monica's last statement there, Lord, is just a reminder, Father, that this, that Jetta and her family, these people, Lord God, have honored you. They have honored you by showing love to your daughter, Monica, Lord God. And Father, we bring that before you, remember, but we're not asking for your help on that basis of their good works. But Lord, I believe their good works are a reflection of the fact that they trust in you. And our trust in you is where we know we find our hope and our help. Lord Jesus, we look to you and you alone. I'm thankful for these doctors. We're thankful for every treatment that you can give. It is absolutely mind-blowing what the medical field has come up with and been able to do by this power of your spirit-infused wisdom. And we're so thankful for that, Father. We're thankful for the help that doctors can give people. But God, we know this. No doctor can heal anyone of anything. It is you who heals, always. It is you who gets all the glory. We ask that as they do this treatment, that everything would be done exactly as you would have it done, nothing more, nothing less. And Father, that it would work so miraculously that everyone would be astounded and you'd get all the glory. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would even just walk into that room. Your very presence would just walk into that room, and doctors, nurses, regardless of their religious background or their lack of religion, their lack of awareness of your presence, that you would so profoundly enter that room with your presence, Jesus, that even the person who doesn't even believe there is a God would all of a sudden, the very hairs on the back of their neck will stand up. Every fiber of their being will know that He who spoke the universe into existence just walked into this room. And God, they would be overwhelmed with your presence, and your presence would cause that miraculous recovery. We bind cancer and every demonic influence that uses it against people, and we declare that Jesus is sovereign Lord over that situation, and we give you praise for that. Father, we pray for Monica's little cousin, Kyson, Lord God. We pray for Angie Witten. We pray for the Fuentes family. We pray, Lord Jesus, that every need, you know every need, Father, whether it's for physical healing or emotional healing or spiritual healing or provision, you know every single need. Father, I pray for families today, Lord God, where I know of a family, Father, that's been having lots of relationship issues, Lord God, and I just speak peace and grace over families today, over marriages today, that they become and remain the godly picture of that exists between Christ Jesus and his church, Lord. That's what you intended it to be. And if it's anything less than that, I pray, God, that you'd help people respond to your grace and move into that position of being a reflection of you. Father, we pray for Pete as he gets ready to go into detox tomorrow, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that there are places that can help people deal with the physical symptoms of this spiritual problem. So, Father, we pray that in the physical realm, everything that needs to be done for Pete be done. But, Lord, we take authority over addiction in the name of Jesus Christ, and we release grace and peace. I pray, Lord, that he'd find you. Just as Paul was saying, that men might reach out and find you, I pray that he finds you in all of your fullness, that he never feel lacking or need to reach out to anything or anyone again to fill that void in his life. We pray, Lord God, for Natalie, Lord, who needs a job. Father, we know it is your will and your desire for us to be productive and to work with our hands and to provide. So we're asking you, Lord God, to give her, Lord Jesus, an open door that you have for her. Father, you know the people that she needs to be with. You know the kind of money that she needs to make. You know every detail, and we just entrust it to you right now. And we call for open doors in Jesus' name that are appropriate and good. And we give you thanks. Father, I lift the Yale family before you this morning. You know what they're going through. Lord God, you know the healing that is needed, and we thank you and we praise you. Father, I pray for Tammy's grandmother. I pray for that whole family, Lord God, as that their hearts be drawn together and that they would lean into your grace and your faith. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Did you decide on which book? Not yet. Okay. We'll announce which book it is by the end of the program, y'all. At the end of the program. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Bardice and Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is, Where Do You Live? Now, before we get back to the message, would you be so kind and share about my church home?
Your home church?
Yes.
A church that'll let even Monica come.
Yeah.
Oh, we're blessed to have Monica there. She's a life, a spark plug of life. Praise the Lord. Living Waters Church, we meet together every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we'd love to have you join us there. Everyone's welcome, of course. And we're by the high school football field in Burns Flat on Webb Street. And I can promise you this, you just come and join us as you are, and you'll be greeted by the love of God and the love of God's people. And I'll pour the word into you, and we'll have some good worship, and you'll enjoy yourself. So come give us a try. If you don't have a church home, maybe Living Waters would be your church home. There's a lot of good church homes in Western Oklahoma, so find one that you believe the Holy Spirit is leading you to. Get plugged in and stay there and honor God by being a faithful part of that church. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We have one more prayer request that came in on Facebook.
Okay.
Lisa Taylor needs prayer for Ella, please.
Prayer for Ella. Uh-huh. Okay.
That's her daughter.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come together. We set ourselves in agreement with Lisa. Father, if she didn't have faith in you, she wouldn't be requesting prayer from us. And Father, we're agreeing together with her faith, Lord God, over her daughter, over Ella. Father, you know every single detail about every person on this earth. And we believe that your plans for us are always for our good, to prosper us and not harm us, to give us hope and to give us future. Father, you know the details. We're asking you to move in a mighty way, your sovereign hand, Lord God, upon this situation. We decree and declare that it's coming to a quick resolution. And we thank you for it. It'll be astounding, powerful testimony to your goodness. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Where do you live? You say, well, I live in this town. I live in that town. No. Where do you really live? Because you can live in a town. Some people just live in their house for the last few years. But whatever you're living in, house, apartment, trailer, condo, wherever it is, you're actually living in either Christ Jesus or you're living in the world. That's the only two places to be. In the book of 1 John, he refers to it as this. He calls it light and darkness. If we walk with him, the Lord, we have fellowship in the light. But if we don't, we walk in darkness. If we don't have fellowship with him, if we live in sin, let's just go there. I think we're going to come back to John 15, so stick your finger there. But I'm just feeling prompted to go to 1 John and just read it rather than just quote it to you. The book of 1 John, way back here in the back, the little epistle, 1 John. Really powerful book. You need something to read today, say, I don't know what to read. Go read 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message that we've heard from him. In other words, they heard it directly from him. This is the beloved Apostle John. That walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, leaned up against Jesus. He said, this is what we heard from him, and we're declaring it to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, but yet we walk in the darkness, we lie. And we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his son Jesus purifies us from all sin. That word purifies there, your New Testament was written in Greek. And there's always words, even in our English language, that mean it happened, but it's not happening anymore. It is happening, and it will happen. And this word purifies in the Greek, there are more tenses than there are in English. In English, there's past, present, and future. But in Greek, there's more tenses than that. And it literally implies this. It has happened. It is still happening. It will continue to happen. It's always going to happen. It's a continuous, ongoing thing that began quite a while back. And so what he's saying is this: if you walk in the light with the Lord, you not only have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Son, you get the continuous cleansing of the blood of Jesus in your life. You see, well, here's what makes a difference. Imagine this. How many of you know we live in a dirty world and dirty things happen, and even we as Christian people can sometimes get some dirt on us. I mean, we just do. We don't. If you're really in love with the Lord, I don't believe very often at all you would ever choose willfully to do the wrong thing. But sometimes we just don't think. We just, you know, before we realize that we've done something stupid and we got some dirt on us. Well, how about this? How dirty do you think you'd ever get if you continually lived under the shower head of God's grace and mercy cleansing you? All the mud in the world could be thrown at you, and as soon as it hit you, it would be cleansed off. I think that's the picture the Lord wants us to have about our fellowship with Jesus, with Father God, and it's done through the Holy Spirit, through realizing His presence, acknowledging His presence. You know, when I don't ever, ever set foot out of my bed without having a fellowship with the Father, without having fellowship with Jesus, without having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When I realize I'm in my body, I'm awake, I'm conscious again, it's like I'm immediately start talking to Him. You see, out loud? No, not always. Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. But I can talk to Him in my spirit and in my mind, and I began to. Sometimes I say, "Good morning, Lord," and sometimes I say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Oh. You know, but whether I feel great or whether I feel horrible or whether it's cold and dark and whether it's warm and sunny, whatever the day has, I ain't starting it without acknowledging Him. Man, I when I get up, you say, "What are you wearing today?" Well, I thought I would clothe myself with Christ. Come on. And then I'm going to live in Him and have and move and have my being in Him. And how about this? If I'm in Him and I want to go do something that Him don't want to do, how many know if I... He ain't going there. If I want to go somewhere He don't want to go, I'm going to have to step out away from Him. I'm going to have to take Him off, lay here, say, "Jesus, just wait for me over here. I'm going to go be stupid. I'm going to go over here and try to flirt with the devil without getting my head knocked off." Like, you would never do that. But if you realize that if you push the fellowship of the Lord to the side a minute so you can do your thing, whatever your thing is, that's exactly what you're doing. You're literally removing yourself, his presence, his blessing, his favor, his protection. You just don't want to do that. I'm not saying you got unsaved and then you go back and get saved and you got unsaved. I don't believe that way. I don't believe anybody should believe that way. We're talking about fellowship. We're not talking about salvation. If you're not saved, you can't have fellowship, period. That's not even open for discussion. So we're talking to saved people saying, he's saying to saved people, you need to walk in the light like He's in the light. Because in God, there's no darkness. Let me say it this way. In God, there's no room for compromise with sinful things, with things that are not His will. And listen, on that note of sinful things, it doesn't have to be sinful in the sense of what you might think of sinful. If something's not God's will for you and you know it's not God's will for you, like here's a great example. Marriage is obviously not sinful. God's the one that instituted the institution, the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman, right? But marriage can be sinful if that marriage is not a godly marriage. If a believer's trying to marry an unbeliever, that goes against God's word. Hello? If George is trying to marry Bob, that goes against God's word. You know, Susie and Sarah, whatever. I'm just throwing names out. I ain't picking on nobody. But God didn't ordain that. So that would be sinful. But here's another way it could be sinful. You got two people, and they both seem to love the Lord, and so we decided we won't be together. Well, what did God say about it? Come on. So that's what we need to always be asking ourselves when we're trying to decide whether I'm going to pursue this job, this relationship, this purchasing decision, especially if it's a big, and I ain't talking about you have buying crackers. I'm talking about cars, houses, big things, whether or not you should take out that loan. You know, you say, "Well, I got this new job and I got a raise and it's looking up, so I'm gonna upgrade." Well, maybe God knows and you don't that big raise you just got, so that job's not going to be there. I mean, we've probably all been in a situation where our present source, that or not source, but avenue that God was using as a source, it dried up on us. You know, Elijah was a man of God. He said, decree a famine. Well, the famine affected him too. He had to go out into the desert and live by the stream, and the ravens brought him food. But then one day the stream dried up, didn't it? Was it because he was at the wrong stream? No. Was it because he wasn't supposed to be there? No. It was a change of seasons. And see, here's the thing. I don't know when the seasons are going to change, but God does. So I need to know when I'm leaving the house how to prepare. And so I'm not saying I got to pray about what socks to wear, but I need to be listening for the Holy Spirit's prompting. And even if something sounds a little silly to me and I don't understand it, like you leaving the house on a summer day, he says, take your coat with you. Like, why would I take a coat with me? It's a summer day. You don't know what you might need that coat for. You're driving down the road, you got your shorts on, you got your tank top on, the windows are rolled down, and all of a sudden there's an electrical short in your car and it catches on fire, and boy, I got to have something to beat the fire out with. Thank God I brought my winter coat. Bam, bam. I don't know why I brought my coat, but I had that coat laying right there in the seat. Boy, I just beat that fire out in a heartbeat. Boy, if I'd have had to take my tank top off, I don't think that would have worked. See, and that's a silly little example, but see, God knows every detail. And we need to make sure that what we're doing is his will. And in doing that, I'm walking in fellowship. Let's go back to John 15 to finish up there. We might be able to get, no, probably not. John chapter 15, Jesus is talking about, I'm the true vine. So anything you're plugged into that's not Jesus, you're hooked up to the wrong power source. I'm the true vine. You're the branches. My Father's the gardener. Verse 4, remain, the King James says, abide in me. Abide means you live there. Abide in me and I will abide in you. The branch cannot bear fruit. No branch can bear fruit by itself. No matter how hard you try. Unless it remains in me, you cannot bear fruit. So listen, maybe you're trying to do the right things. You're struggling. You're really trying. You're trying to beat the addiction with your willpower. It's not likely to happen. If you get it suppressed with your willpower, it's still there. It's just suppressed. And that's not how God wants you free. He wants you free. Free, free. I can be around people who have the addiction that I used to have, and I don't even think about being tempted to do what they're doing. It's disgusting to me. That's the freedom that God wants you to have. I'm not saying they're disgusting because they're doing it. It's disgusting to me. If anything, my heart just goes out to them because I know they can be free, but they're not yet. But God will deal with that. As I pray and I believe God will deal with that in his own good way, because he's the gardener that cleans and prunes in the way that's the most healthy for that branch. And just guess what? Every branch is different. So we can't try to force people into our pruning process. Well, when I come to Jesus, this is what he did. Well, that's good, wonderful. But that doesn't mean it would work for someone else. Amen? Sometimes we need to quit helping God out quite so much. That was for me. Ouch. You can't bear fruit if you're not abiding in Jesus. So, verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. That's a good thing to remember. You might write yourself a note. He's the vine, I'm just the branch. If I'll stay plugged into him, it's all going to work out. Them grapes will come, they'll be beautiful. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, apart, what does that mean? That means you're not joined together. You're separated. Doesn't necessarily mean you're not saved. I'm even realize this. I can be married to my wife and not live with her. I could be married to her and live in the same house and have nothing to do with her. There are a lot of people married to Jesus don't have much to do with him unless they need him. That's not the kind of relationship that I want with my wife, and I'm pretty sure that's not the relationship Jesus wants with his bride either. And here's the thing, man. We've all had time. If you've ever been married, you've had times where, Like, I love you from over here. Just give me some space, you know. That's like, give me some space. We've all had times like that. But we've also had times, if you're married, where you've had times where you're so, I can't even imagine my life apart from you. I just, everything, I want to share everything with you. It's like if I had $1 million, but I couldn't share it with my wife, I just keep it. I don't want it, you know. If I could go anywhere in the world and live in the biggest, fanciest, beautiful house and the mountains and the beach and the da-da-da-da, but I can't share it with people I love, I don't want it. It's worthless. It's absolutely worthless without the fellowship of those who I love. If I've got to push away the one who I love the most and who loves me the most in order to have that, then I don't want that. Because it would be hollow and empty and worthless. And if you don't believe that, you don't have to look any further than Hollywood, California, and Washington, D.C. And you'll see a whole lot of people with a whole lot of wealth, worldly things, that don't fill the void. You know? Just saying. I got somebody in my mind right now. I'm not going to say his name, but famous son of a president. He's hurting. We should pray for him. I mean, you see the pictures of the guy, Hunter. You see the videos of him. He's hurting, man. Don't jump on a bandwagon and bash him and all that stuff. He's made mistakes. He needs Jesus. And he needs Jesus in such a way that he gets Jesus in his heart, that he has all the confidence in the world because of his relationship with Christ to come clean about all that stuff. And he needs to repent and get his life filled up with the Lord. Say, well, how dare you judge somebody? How do you know he don't know him? Jesus said, if you remain in me, you'll bear good fruit. And if you're apart, you're not going to bear fruit. It's like, I'm not judging people, I'm judging fruit. Come on. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, you'll know them by the fruit. That's all I'm saying. And he said, don't condemn them if their fruit's bad. He didn't say go around condemning people because their fruit's bad. But listen, don't go around thinking everybody's okay, because they're not. We're not okay if we're not plugged in, living in him and having our being in him. Remember where we started in Acts? We live and move and have our being in him. So Jesus is really, really pointing out the fact that we've got to remain. We've got to stay attached. That's remain. That's not visit once in a while like church people do their church. Every church I know has a small group of people who, if they're not there, the pastor will wonder, what in the world? And then there's a whole lot of other people that they, you know, the pastor has to make a list. I need to reach out to them, reach out to them, reach out to them, reach out to them, reach out to them. They've been gone for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 week, this week, that week. Then there are those people that if they're going to be gone, they're like, Pastor, I want to let you know I'm going to be gone Sunday. We love you guys. We'll miss you. Listen, that's what your pastor wants, because he wants to know you're okay, because he's been charged or she's been charged with the mandate from God to watch over you. But we need to get plugged in. We need to be in fellowship. So why? You talking about being in fellowship with Jesus and not the church. I ain't talking about the building when I say the church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Be involved. Be in fellowship. If you don't have that kind of relationship where you've been attending, either you need to change the way you are with the people you're around, or maybe you just need to change. I don't know. But I can tell you this, if you leave your church offended, offense is going to come with you, and it'll show up at your new church. And not only will it show up with you so that you get offended at the new church, and then the other new church, and then the other new church, and the other new church, but your offendedness is contagious. So if you get offended at your church and you think you need to leave, you need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to let him deal with you, and then pray and let him deal with whatever's going on. I'll tell you this, anytime I get offended, because I do get offended. Sorry, I'm not perfect. Anytime I get offended, the Holy Spirit corrects me. And more often than not, he will remind me that if I was really walking in love, if I was really full up with him that day, that even though they said that I was a horrible person, blah, blah, whatever they said or did or didn't do or whatever it was, it wouldn't even have bothered me. I'd have been like Jesus. Amen. I got to abide in him to have that. That's the fruit of love that I have to abide in him. So where you live today? Are you living in Jesus? Good job. Keep it up. Don't move. Stay there, abiding in him, fellowshipping with him. Wake up acknowledging his presence. Go to bed acknowledging his presence. Get into his word. There's nothing I know of, nothing. And this might sound bad to some people, but man, in my own personal life and in the lives of the hundreds and hundreds of people that I've dealt with over the years, nothing will improve your love life with God like reading the Bible. Nothing. You see, well, prayer is important. Oh, I agree. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I agree. Worship. Oh, Pastor, it's all about worship. I love worship as much as the next person, but it's not worship that truly changed my life. Worship is like the fuel that throws fuel on the fire of my love for God, but this is the foundation that that fire rests on. I don't believe you can have a great love life with God if you don't love the Word, because he is the Word. Amen. So I'm going to bless you and leave you with that. If you need something to read today, read Psalms 91. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Who says that? Whoever dwells under the shadow of the Almighty will abide. Whoever, you know. You say, well, I don't know. We'll go read it then. He who abides under the shadow of the Almighty will dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. There you go, right there, with him, up close, personal. Amen. Well, Father, I pray you bless your people today, each one of us, Lord, to keep us close to you. Lord, there are times I would admit that we all can just stray a little bit. Not turning our backs on you, not rejecting you by any means. We're too wise for that, Father, but there are times where we just kind of, our fire just dwindles a little. We just start to just drift a little. Maybe we just lose a sense of direction. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give us that sense of direction again and pull us to yourself. Let us feel like today that you are speaking to us as if we were the only person in the world. I pray, Jesus, today that we would know your closeness and know your love. And if there's anyone listening today that say, well, I don't even know if I'm saved, I pray today that you would help them to have the courage to just give themselves completely to you and say, Jesus, forgive me, save me, be my Lord and Savior. I ask you, Lord Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. Did we decide which book, sister? If you would like to be entered to win this book, like, share, and then comment done in the comments. And then we will get you entered, and we will be giving the book away on the 28th, which is a Tuesday. For myself, Monica Lovell, you have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.